Sci-fi. Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade or Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
The Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. We've got a Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And if you have a 5-star review for us, leave it on Apple Podcasts and I'll read it on the air. Willie, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. If you join our Patreon, you get 2 extra episodes a week. And we've been saying this lately that we kind of have a lot of fun on the bonus episodes. So watch out for having fun.
Yeah, well put. Let's welcome aboard the SSR LSF, our perennial guest, back for his every 6 months guest spot. It's Aaron Knowles.
Hey, I'm back again and again.
Guess
and
who's
again.
Back? Aaron Knowles.
I will always be back. I'm never going to leave.
So let's see. We don't need to do your WoW scale.
Nah.
You're always kind of a Wade, right?
Mostly a Wade. I entertain thoughts, though. Like, there's certain things like Edgar Casey and yeah, even a little bit of the alien stuff. I'm starting to humor a little bit in my head, but mostly skeptical, though.
All right. Well, fuck it. Let's jump into it. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, predictive programming. Is it possible that movies and or TV shows are showing the public things that are going to happen in an attempt to prepare them to not be shocked by the crazy shit that's going to happen, like 9/11? Let's get into some examples and let's get into some ideas of what this could be tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Is 9/11 an actual one?
Oh, there's a ton of 9/11 stuff. There's a million things that prepared 9/11, that laid the groundwork for 9/11 that you'll see that are like really crazy too.
Name one.
Yeah, let's jump into 9/11.
Right, sure.
Do you not want to do 9/11 or are you waiting to do 9/11?
Oh, that's fine.
Well, we can talk about 9/11 for an hour.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, we'll just try to get through some big ones. So, first off, let me read this, just a better description. Predictive programming is theory that the government or other higher-ups are using fictional movies or books as a mass mind control tool to make the population more accepting of planned future events. This was first described and proposed by researcher Alan Watt, who defines predictive programming as predictive programming is a subtle form of psychological conditioning provided by the media to acquaint the public with planned societal changes to be implemented by our leaders. If and when these changes are put through, the public will already be familiarized with them and will accept them as natural progressions, thus lessening public resistance and commotion.
Did you say Alan Watts or Alan Watt?
Yeah, I was wondering. Watt. So it's a different Alan. Okay.
So it's not this guy?
I'm looking it up now. Alan Watts is a famous philosopher.
Yeah, he's a big Buddhist guy. He's responsible for kind of bringing Buddhism to the West, or for putting it in a term that the West can understand.
I'm seeing Alan Watt.
Isn't it Bowfinger where Eddie Murphy runs for Congress?
Oh! I thought you were saying he like wrote it or something. I was like, what the fuck? That's so weird. Yeah.
That was the Hollywood movie. Yeah.
Google, Google, Google.
Thank you for listening, but currently we're Googling.
Google, Google, Google. A note on the passing of a great thinker, researcher, and radio voice. Alan Watt, radio host, researcher, gentleman, and scholar, passed away unexpectedly March 4th, 2021.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
All right. No one predicted his death.
His breathtakingly profound and deeply researched talks, which he called Cutting Through the Matrix, were still the voice of a calm in a world long ago gone cruel and insane. He helped so many people comprehend the events in society, and the process taught him to think and understand for themselves. He also wrote many books, mostly under pseudonyms in the fields of religion, philosophy, and poetry. A true Renaissance man. Okay.
Under the name
Alan
Watts.
As long as he was
Watts.
A gentleman.
Yeah. You know, when you're writing about someone and you call him a gentleman, it's almost like, I hate to say it, but like, it's almost like you don't know anything about him. A true gentleman.
Do you think they have to say gentleman if you're childless? Because normally they'd call him a father.
Yeah, right. If you don't have kids, that's that you just a gentleman.
So I'm like guaranteed being called a gentleman.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
You know what, man? Wade was a gentleman.
I want every speech at my funeral to begin. Wade was a true gentleman. I remember once I was following him into a store and he held the door for me.
And he made it more realistic by cursing me out as I walked in. So, yeah, I just want to say this real quick. This was really popularized by Alex Jones and David Icke. So
oh, great.
This is popularized on an extreme level, which I just want to say, I don't know if I get to that extreme. I like talking about it, but I also am going to brush over a lot of 9/11 ideas because I'm like, hey, the World Trade Center represents so much. And, you know, the one being bombed earlier and the attempts on this one being bombed before. So it's like the two towers represented American idealism. And just because a movie does it, you can see why they would attack that in a movie to try to get to your under your skin, though, personally. Like, so I don't know. I'm just throwing this out there because I'm like,
this is like conspiracy theory stacking, though, because it's like, first of all, you have to believe that like these events were planned. And then secondly, that they're getting Hollywood to prepare us for these planned attacks.
Well, there's CIA people in entertainment for sure.
Yeah, and so that I believe that too, and that there are confirmations of it happening in a few speckled pieces, but it makes me say, oh, it's probably happening more than you think.
Probably.
Here's an example: The Lone Gunman. Did you guys ever watch that show?
That's a big one. That was the pilot of The Lone Gunman too.
Yeah,
it was like The Lone Gunman.
So the Lone Gunmen were the nerds from the X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had a spinoff. It was all conspiracy theories, you know. In August of 2001, their pilot episode is people have hijacked planes and they're crashing them into buildings. And one of the Lone Gunmen is on one of the planes that was hijacked.
Wasn't it Into the Twin Towers specifically?
Yeah. And this is August of 2001.
Which means it was shot in like May or April.
Yeah. Yeah, but nobody watched that show.
No, no, I know. Maybe they were expecting it to be. It got greenlit for a reason because they thought it was going to be popular.
You know who watched that show? Who? Anybody who felt like them. Anybody who felt like how they looked.
They were insert characters for sure. They were definitely like, the writers on the X-Files wrote themselves into the show. Like that's Chris. One of them is probably Chris Carter, like a surrogate, and Vince Gilligan too. The Breaking Bad guy.
And so, I mean, how is that their pilot episode? Here's the crazy thing about that. So sure, like I said earlier, it's easy to predict hijacking. I'm not necessarily hijacking, but trying to bomb the World Trade Center in some way, specifically hijacking planes and crashing them into the towers. That's kind of an idea that we hadn't really seen before.
There've been some smaller planes crash into buildings before that.
Yeah. The cast said, the CIA provided storyline plots to the writers.
Okay, I buy that. So imagine if like, damn it, Phil, why'd you give him the Twin Towers storyline? You were supposed to keep that under wraps. Do you think he was told to feed them that story?
Okay, so take this example.
Phil, this fictional CIA guy that I'm making up called Phil.
We're about to write this fucking spinoff of the X-Files, man. Everybody's worried about the government. Like, what should we write about?
Shit, I'm all out of ideas. You know what? I saw this on my desk on Tuesday. I don't know. Like, I got this memo, and planes are basically missiles, right? Like, they're like flying missiles. They have a bunch of jet fuel in them. So, like, what if, you know how the World Trade Center is like a big target? Well, what if like a plane went into the Twin Towers, right? Maybe two planes. I don't know. But that was just a thing I saw. You know, maybe do something with it. I don't know.
No one's going to believe that a plane is a missile.
Right. No, that's what, I mean, you write sci-fi, you write fiction.
You guys, this is an insult to writers. You think that people couldn't come up with that?
Oh, no. But
of course people are going to come up with that. the World Trade Center was a target.
But the cast did come out and say that the CIA offered them story ideas. That's pretty crazy that the CIA is offering ideas to a conspiracy theory show that's trying to put the government into a negative light.
All right. Well, the cast is actors, and I have a very firm stance on actors that they're all idiots. And how would they even know? How would they know that? How would they know that the CIA was giving story ideas?
There's just a guy on set and just dressed in all black with a CIA lapel. And you know,
the actors are sitting there going like, hey, who's that guy? He's not a writer.
I'm the creative consultant. What do you mean?
Who are you?
I'm Phil. I work for the Central Intelligence Agency. I'm not making a secret about it. I'm just here to offer suggestions. You know, I'm just meeting with the writers.
See, I could believe that the writers came up with it. And yeah, they have what'd you just call him? A consultant?
Yeah.
And they go like, yeah, what would happen? So like, what would happen if the planes went into the towers? And then the guy would be like, oh, well, here's what we would do. Like, here's how that would go. Like that I could believe, but I don't believe this guy was in the room pitching stories.
Well, no. And so that's a weird thing too. Yeah, I don't think he was pitching stories either, but it was just like, what if you had a show and the CIA was like, here, I mean, here's how I take it. I treat it like the Tom Clancy, where he worked for the military and he had a lot of people. It's almost like, hey, a consultant on a level of, I get what's going on. Cause like when Hunt for Red October came out, I think I remember reading that like people were kind of freaking out about the idea that secrets were being revealed in this book.
Okay.
Cause he definitely is under watch, at least for some of the stuff that he lets out. Cause you can tell that he has connected information.
Or maybe they're saying that he's on watch, but he's really doing exactly what they want.
Why would you take the CIA giving you ideas for a show you're trying to write?
Yeah, that's kind of my point. It's like, get out of here, man. This is our job. Go fucking shake down some people who tweet the wrong
thing. No. See, you don't understand. You don't get funding for your project unless you work with this guy. All right.
It's a force.
Hollywood, so
wait, now the government is funding us?
I mean, Hollywood studios are always money losers normally. Like all the big studios that, I mean, even especially after COVID, like we'd all need government funding for what we're producing now out here in the land of make-believe. So it doesn't surprise me if there's some money that funnels its way from either the government or some other think tank into Hollywood somehow.
I've seen evidence of CIA throwing stories around.
And sure. There, I mean, in comics, there's a writer, Tom King, in the CIA. Yeah. Everybody in government goes in the private sector to some level. And then some of their government work does continue into that.
So let me ask you this on that level, both of you. Do you think that if a CIA person is offering storylines that you get to say no?
Maybe, but you might not. But, you know, it's Hollywood. Everybody kind of yes ands their way through this stuff, especially if you have to write. How many episodes is the 13 episodes? So if you got 13 episodes to write, you got a CIA guy lending credence to your story. And if your producer, if your executive producer really wants you to write that story,
like, it definitely sounds like a selling point, at least to be like, you know, you picture all these cop shows. And it's like, oh, this story was inspired by FBI's Most Wanted. So you're going to watch it.
It really depends on what the people that are funding your project tell you to do. And this is television, too. This is
so like picture. What happened to advertising after World War II? Advertising and TV shows kind of became a propaganda machine for the government.
Sure. 1950s. Yeah.
I understand that, like, this was a time when nationalism was at a very high point. So it's like, yes, we're going to allow the government to jump into our storylines. Yes, and
we were actively fighting communism at the time, and we needed ideas that were anti-communist in our media. So the government was definitely in on it, like doing stuff then.
And then after the war kind of dies down, obviously Cold War begins somewhere after there, and like that, there's definitely like levels of that. But like, do you think that CIA and government kind of stayed there because it was like just stayed in some situations just to kind of have some kind of take on media. Well,
that's one of the prevailing theories about the lone gunman and all the 9/11 stuff is that after the Cold War, the 90s, we had a period of relative peace. So we needed a new war. And that war was the war to go into the Middle East. We did, you know, Desert Shield and Desert Storm. That was the start of something, but obviously that operation ended. So then we needed like more groundwork to be laid for a future Middle Eastern thing, which we got, you know, for the next 20 years after 9/11.
Yeah, well, it's weird because I'm still like, how the fuck did we go there after 9/11? You know, like those dots were only connected
because we couldn't go into Saudi Arabia because we had so many great deals with them. Because there's more links to Saudi Arabia than there are to Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's proof that this was manipulated. And like, we went to the wrong place.
Obviously. But we went to the more profitable place. We got to get the good stuff from Saudi Arabia along with the stuff we wanted. Well, we didn't actually get what we wanted out of Afghanistan, actually, other than playing with our toys.
Let's jump into some other ideas for a bit, and then we'll get into, because I was almost leaning towards other concepts of how predictive programming is being used. And you know, Back to the Future has a lot of 9/11 ties,
right? The Twin Pines Mall.
But these are stretches, man.
Can I show you a stretch? Can I show you like the best stretch I've seen? This is my favorite one.
In no way did anyone think of Twin Pines Mall and be like, now I'm ready for the towers to get attacked. That's just not if that's predictive programming, okay, then they're bad at it.
There is another theory behind it, which is the people that are planning this are, for lack of a better term, satanic. This is the real conspiracy stuff. And part of their ritual is that you deserve it if you passively accept it. So if you were warned through this media and you just passively accepted it, then we deserve 9/11.
I should have watched Lone Gunman and then been so outraged by the notion of it that I would then cancel Lone Gunman or something. I don't know what the call my congressman. Hey, we need to protect these towers.
It's kind of this weird totem thing. Like you put it in the people's subconscious. And so as a warning, and if they were warned, you feel less guilty about it.
All right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anytime you bring Satan or religion into a conspiracy theory, I just start rolling my eyes because I'm like, this is just you justifying your...
It's also a way of pacification. So when 9/11 happened, I remember a friend of mine online said, whoa, this is just like out of Die Hard. So it's a way of dulling the a real violent act by making you associate it with fiction.
Well, yeah. And it's really so that they can direct your outrage
Well, I'm on the edge of my seat. What is this stretching that Aaron wants to show us?
Yeah, okay. This is my favorite one. This is just for fun, just for laughs, but it's... Oh, wait, I got a better way to show you. I'm just going to switch my camera around. See this Supertramp album cover?
Yeah. The Twin Tower, Supertramp, the two towers are...
The U and the P in Supertramp are right over the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
So if you reverse that...
P-U. It stinks.
Are you serious? Is that really what it is?
No. I'm not.
9/11. Whoa.
Oh, okay. If you reverse the entire image, because the bottom of the U is covered by the tower, so it reads...
The U is the U is the only letter you can't see the bottom of, too.
Was it
1979 that came out? Shit.
Switch your camera back.
And sorry. So, you know, when it comes to predictive programming, a lot of things are just showing lists of like, hey, look, this said 9/11 too. This says 9/11 right here. This says 9/11 and the towers.
The Simpsons one is another big one.
In that realm, though, to me, a lot of this isn't predicting anything. It's like taking the idea that, people.
Yeah. So the Simpsons one is just an image from any random Simpsons thing where there happens to be a 9/11 in it.
I mean, and the Twin Towers.
But they make an 11, though. It's like,
Here's how I squash a lot of the 9/11 stuff. First off, I do like the idea that
you're not the skeptic, Willie.
I am skeptical about.
I'm kidding.
Okay. So the one that I like is the one about back.
Can I do one more? Because these are fun. Yeah. I mean, Back to the Future is also fun. Neo's passport in the Matrix.
Oh yeah,
expires September 11th, 2001.
We got to tell that to Bugmane because that supports his theory that the simulation started on 9/11.
Okay. I actually kind of buy that.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of into Bugmane.
9/11 was in America, it's the number we call for an emergency. But to the rest of the world, they fucking do their date. They don't use 911. Then they do their dates opposite of ours. They would do
11/9.
It's 11/9 in Europe. In Europe, it's 11/9 because they do the month date thing.
Yeah, but that's not their emergency phone call number.
I know. I'm just whatever.
I'm just saying that 9/11 is only relevant as a number to us. Anybody whose passport would not have melted in a jet crashing into a building. 9/11 means nothing to them. So to anybody who is saying predictive programming, 9/11 is everywhere. No. Emergency is everywhere. This doesn't say that you're predicting 9/11 because you say 9/11 and something.
Sure.
To me, that's not predictive programming at all. Just because your thing says 9/11 on it. Neo's birthday is probably 9/11 because jokingly it's like 420. It's like, what if it expires on 9/11?
That date, I mean, 2001 specifically though.
Well, when did that movie come out? 98?
99.
So you know that just some prop guy just arbitrarily chose that.
But maybe the Wachowskis were like, no, you have to put September 11, 2001 on that. It has to be that number.
I think that directors are so into the movie that they've chosen all of those fucking things. Like they're overwhelmed, but no, they make sure to put the dates.
Yeah. It's like second unit, some prop guy. Maybe the person that made that prop was a Freemason. Huh?
No. Masons are like builders. They're not fucking. They're not graphic artists.
And destroyers.
No, I'm a fan of the Masons.
You're right.
No, I want to be a Freemason. They're awesome.
I do too. I agree. There's one down the street from me. It's like a block away. I want to go join.
Yeah, but, I know where that is.
Where? I want to go.
On Los Feliz Boulevard, right?
The one I'm thinking of is weird. It's right on Hyperion behind the 7-Eleven. There's a Masonic temple, like.
I thought that was a bar.
Like a VFW sort of deal?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can see why people would want to take these towers down in their movies to inspire or to...
Yeah, it's like blowing up the White House or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. There's this great Back to the Future one. I forget. I know we've talked about it before in the show, but...
Yeah, please explain that one to me because it sounds hilarious.
Where the Building 7... This one was the outfit that that Marty is wearing when he goes back to the future and he's in disguise is the same outfit that what's his butt's wearing in the Robert Zemeckis film where the guy's walking in between the two towers on the tightrope.
Man on a Wire.
Yeah.
The French guy that did the tightrope walk.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the other thing with Back to the Future is that at the Twin Pines Mall, when he goes back, the time on the clock is 1:16 a.m. And that's 9/11 if you turn it upside down.
Come on.
I mean, it is. It's literally like that in the movie.
But wait, what Man on a Wire I thought was... I guess it couldn't be after. I thought it was, though. I know that the documentary...
Oh, no. Oh, it was after.
Like 2011.
It was after, but it basically was like leading you back to the Back to the Future part two because he's wearing the same outfit.
Oh, wait, part two?
Yeah.
When he
remember
goes
he's wearing
the
he's wearing the fedora with the red shirt with the black leather jacket on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's what the guy in Man on Wire is wearing. So it's just like trying to point you back to Back to the Future 2.
When, that's too much. That's Back to the Future 2 pointing to Back to the Future 1. Back to the Future 1 has more of a direct correlation. That's a lot of extra work.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a fun thing where it's like, holy fuck, like, if he was saying something back then and you didn't get it, and then he does this other movie about the Twin Towers and it points back to, because in Back to the Future Part 2, when he has the TV behind him and it shows the Twin Towers, mm-hmm. when they turn the TV off, the towers like both go down in the screen, so it looks like they're collapsing.
Okay, that's and Back to the Future 1?
Back to the Future Part 2, when they're in the future.
Interesting.
On the back but wall.
But that is so...
I'd have to say
that. No, I know. These are crazy connections.
That is.
But
like
if you didn't... But if he was doing that and he didn't get it and then he's pointing it back out to you, like, no, what should you get, man? You didn't fucking get it. Nobody's talking
and
about
Zemeckis
it.
And Zemeckis is the one trying to... Hey, man, maybe you should have fucking done something about it. Like, what is the point of all of this?
I would believe that if what was the used car salesman show with Kurt that Zemeckis did? Was it a car salesman? I forget. If there was some 9/11 thing in that, I'd be like, oh, Zemeckis is the guy. You know, like he's always trying to do something. So hold on. Let me just drop into some other ones, right? Let me do a quick list of some things, right? So one idea is there's all these movies that have come out about another ice age happening, like Snowpiercer or and so
okay.
like the idea of an ice age happening again has not been in the public opinion, has not been, no one's talked about it until recently. So it's kind of like, well, these movies are trying to show us that ice age could happen again, and now they're saying that an ice age probably will happen again because of global warming, you know, that like the water levels will rise so much and any movie on this list is any movie that dealt with an ice age happening in the future, because that nobody believes in that until recently, didn't even think
ice
about
age
it.
Ice age 2, Ice Age 3.
That's all recent. That's all recent.
Short.
That's all recent. But the Ice Age is about the real Ice Age. These future movies are about an Ice Age happening in the future. Like Snowpiercer being on the train.
Right.
So the idea is that they're just trying to get you brainwashed into... Yeah, acclimated. Yeah. So picture Hunger Games.
So these are good movies because they give you ideas. So you can outrun the Ice Age if you watch that Roland Emmerich movie.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I'm ready, I'm ready.
In 2017, there was this movie that came out called Circle, and it was about mass surveillance and the government's watching everything you do.
Well, it was about Facebook, really. It was like an analog for Facebook. You're talking about the Tom Hanks thing, right?
I haven't seen it. I have no idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just like quoting other things. I haven't seen
it. Okay, well, I'm telling you, it's the Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is in Circle? Facebook. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and so when that trailer came out for that movie, like the next week, within days, actually, is when the WikiLeaks came out. Julian Assange, whatever, that like, yeah, the government's watching everything you do.
Okay.
And so
prison stuff.
Yeah. And then also in 2017, there's this movie Geostorm that came out. Yeah. And it was all about weather manipulation. And then all the headlines from that year from all over the world were how they were actually using weather manipulation. There was even one article about how like California ordered more snow. And it was all like seeding clouds mostly with like silver iodine, whatever, but like, and we'd always known about weather manipulation because they tried seeding clouds in the 70s in Colorado and that like burst a dam.
Sure.
Like a lot of people didn't believe in it, but in 2017, there's tons and tons of articles, even from China, Fox News, everywhere, talking about their stories in the public that year of weather manipulation, like it's a normal thing.
Yeah, like Cobra Commander in that G.I. Joe mini movie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
What was it called?
Mini movie?
Oh, no, it was like the first G.I. Joe thing. It was,
I forget.
It's not G.I. Joe movie. It was, just called like the weather control device, the weather dominator.
Yeah. It was like a small mini part series. It was like the first mini series that they had where it was like a multi-part episode. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. It wasn't a mini series. It was just a.
It was multiple episodes, though.
It was a multi-episode arc.
Yeah.
And then so you know, the like a lot of people harp on Hunger Games a lot in this realm because it's like, hey, in this version of a dystopian future, like everybody's got their little groups that they are, their little clans, their little. The government is falling apart, but the only people that really have money are the rich that are running everything. And so it's like, you guys all have to fight for. Just the idea that you've got to sacrifice someone in your group where there are these power elites that are like watching you suffer for
Hunger Games, basically.
Yeah.
No, literally, that's what he's talking about.
I mean, and we are very rapidly approaching the Hunger Games.
How
once so? It all falls apart. Well, just reality TV and the way we're dehumanizing each other and how the rich are getting richer. Running
Man is going to be a real show, right?
We're getting closer to that, too, yeah. I don't know if like it'll right be now, as right, cold, but...
Right now, we've got people singing and, you know, The Voice. We've got people like... trying to impress people. I'm just laughing going like, when are we going to get to the point where there are people fighting to the death as entertainment? Like
what?
I mean,
singing for people. That's entertainment. Well, time, man.
But you could say that they are
competitive reality shows is what I'm getting at.
If you can predict where predictive programming is going right now, there are a lot of shows about reality shows. Isn't Squid Game like this? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where we're being programmed into these Hunger Games.
I mean, Squid Game is it's battle royale. It's
yeah. So this is everywhere, and this if we're following the pattern here, we could actually be watching this on TV in 50 years. Not us; we'll probably be dead by then, but our kids will, our friends' kids will.
Well, and listen, I mean, like the picture UFC versus boxing, right? Like, mm-hmm. Is there going to be another step past this? I know that they.
Gladiator combat. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, would you watch? I mean, I don't know. Fuck, man. You got two accountants fighting to the death. Like, I would watch.
Yeah.
You got to be an accountant, though, certified.
Right. No, you have to have actually fucked people over.
I mean, that's the only way that it would fly. If it's like convicted. You know, convicted people, but then I don't know. You guys are very cynical about the future. If you actually believe that we're going to have games where people are killing each other,
I mean, it's not.
Dude, what if
you could get? It could be in our future.
Picture this. Picture how much money the prison system makes. What if they made a TV show that was like, "Hey, you can get off death row if you fought to the battle with this other death row inmate." It's like, hey, both these guys are going to die anyways.
Private prisons being taken like to their most extreme could lead to that.
That's the next thing to me. Like, I'm not into it.
It's not the next
thing. We already have, but the justice system is already so flawed that people are going to be like, no, No, if they're innocent? I'm not gonna fucking watch this. Yeah.
There's a couple of steps. I mean, first off, our food supply has to be disrupted in some way. So we'd have to have people starving.
We're kind of living through that now.
We're starting that, actually. Yeah. And then
it's going to happen.
Climate change, all that shit has to go down. Like the world has to totally collapse. And then human life has to be, you're talking from a point of comfort, Wade. Like when our living conditions get so uncomfortable, we're going to be like, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy.
Okay. Like, but we still have television and couches to watch this shit on.
Yeah. But not, that'll be our only comfort.
What if a big famine happened next year? Like all the movie money would still be there. All the TV show money would still be there. But how would you get people to watch when everybody's broke and dying? I agree with you. I'm definitely stretching in every realm on this episode, you know.
No, we're talking the most extreme version of the pattern, the path that we're on right now, obviously. To say that we couldn't go, we could definitely go in that direction. It's happened in human civilization before.
I'm not saying we couldn't go there. I just think that you guys have a very bleak outlook.
No. I mean, the difference is we definitely both expect some shift to happen. It's not going to be hunky dory, like going into the future, everything's great. Like if that were the path, I don't see that. Like something's going to collapse and within the next 50 years, something's going to collapse, whether it be a government or a food supply or a solar flare. You know what I mean? Like something's going to disrupt.
And then there'll be a system that
50 years of technology growth and society growth.
And there'll be a system that steps in. And as long as we're comfortable in our apartments and never leave, and we have our computers and our TVs,
what if we can't go outside anymore because because there's an ozone hole that's like so big that you just
can't have to be
like a virus
or a fake virus.
I mean, that's what we should be bringing up, but you're right.
Well, there's
then we'll take a break.
Well, this could be the hook to come back to, but there's like things like that predicted COVID, like contagion, not to the extreme that it happens in that movie. But
these are just things that we know can exist. And the writer's job is to be like, oh, this would be fun and entertaining. Let's do it. I mean,
we can digest it after the break. But I want to hit on that a little bit.
That's the angle that I have too. And so whenever you got to have specific information to get someone to sway in that direction. So what do we have that's specific? That's what we'll get into next.
All right, great.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. Has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We're talking to our friend Aaron Moles about predictive programming. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Apparently, the media is owned by the government, and the government is also evil. And they want to do evil stuff, but they want to get us ready for it.
That's about that's the gist. Yeah.
Right. So, one version is just the government. We're going to do a horrible thing, but also let's get people ready for it. Like, just do the horrible thing. Well, I know you got fun stuff to talk about, but just real quick. Let's say, like, how would the reaction to 9/11 have been different if we didn't have Back to the Future and the lone gunman warning us about it? Would it have been anarchy? Would we take to the streets?
I personally don't think that anybody was in the mindset of, oh, we knew this was going to happen. You know, like.
But that's a lot of what Fahrenheit 9/11, but the Michael Moore documentary was, because they had Bush ignoring a presidential daily briefing. You had the World Trade Center attacked in 1993. So we definitely knew something was going to happen with the Twin Towers specifically. Yeah. I think it even said people are going to use planes to crash into the Twin Towers too. And that presidential briefing.
Well, I mean, they definitely had warnings of this. I mean, the secret defense world knew that this was on the table, but so I don't think
formed a giant human net to stop the planes? Would that have done it?
Only Spider-Man could have done that.
And just barely.
Let's get into some fun stuff.
Okay, so here, when it comes to very specific things, like you know, my take is, if you're talking about evil, if you're talking about specifically like, hey, this says 9/11, so this was trying to warn you, it's too vague. You gotta have specific stuff. So here's some weird specific stuff. All right, so in The Man of Steel in 2011.
2013.
What?
It was 2013, not 2011.
Man of Steel?
Man of Steel is 2013.
Does it matter?
I know. It was definitely 2013. I'm looking at it right now. It was the year after The Dark Knight Rises. Because
why is this
Christopher?
I'm going like, maybe I wrote down the wrong movie. Okay, so the reason being is because, and I haven't seen this movie. In the movie that I'm talking about, maybe it's The Man of Steel. An alien ship lands, and when it lands, it resembles a trident, and it actually has specific coordinates on where this alien ship lands.
Okay.
In the movie. And then so also at some point there's a bus that flips over, and if you pause the movie, you can, and it's written on the top of the bus, MIA 6370. And then, okay. Later that year, that the missing plane from Malaysia was flight 370, and where that plane disappeared is the same coordinates of the alien ship from Man of Steel, and the symbol that airline uses is a trident.
Wow, and, I've never heard of this.
Malaysia Airlines went international before this movie came out, so they later became MIA. So the bus says MIA 6370, and Malaysia International Airlines flight 370 disappeared in the same fucking coordinates as this. So how is that predictive programming? I don't know. I mean, you can, half of this information you can only get from pausing the movie, but it is clearly written in the movie.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it. Also, the Earth's radius is also 6370 kilometers. if you're using the metric system. So there's that too.
So that's just a weird thing.
Where no, it's like that this, is weird.
It's like, weird, but like, yeah, that's not preparing anyone for anything. You have to be a code breaker to understand. Oh, these things.
You'd be like the people that watch these movies and come up with this shit are like,
yeah, yeah,
idiot savant.
So
like, no, but think about so, yeah, think yeah. about watching that movie before and going like MIA 6370. Oh my god. That means that airline that hasn't even gone international yet is going to go international. And don't get on that flight, I guess, even though that flight happens so every day or week or whatever. Right. Like,
the purpose has to be like calling their shot. Like, I don't know, just some kind of ego
and
trip.
Picture how many times you paused the movie getting numbers that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's like Babe Ruth when he points before he does a home run. Like,
well, it's funny that
no, because it's like that anybody who points after that, yeah,
like I can't remember the real story, but he wasn't calling his shot, he was doing something else, and it was later then remembered to be him calling his shot. I can't remember the real story, but that's like an urban legend.
Well, history is gonna remember my version, so whatever.
No, exactly, history it's already always does the remember your version,
it's always. The mythologized, yeah.
So here's another weird one that you guys have probably vaguely heard about, but in so here we got Superman, you know, big blockbuster. How about Batman?
Wait, hang on, real quick. I thought Man of Steel. Now I'm really curious about what movie that was, because I thought Man of Steel was about Lex Luthor making more land.
There was Superman Returns. And then there was that was probably Superman Returns. That's what you're thinking of.
Is that the first one that they?
That one was a Bryan Singer movie in 2006, and then Man of Steel is Zack Snyder.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay,
that was the beginning of the Snyderverse.
Okay, so what about Batman?
The Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises. If you pause you don't see it if you don't pause it, but if you pause the movie at a certain point, it says Sandy Hook on it. And there's a map that says that has Sandy Hook written on it before Sandy Hook happens. And like, what the hell is Sandy Hook? Why was that written on a map in The Dark Knight Rises? And people have connected that because the people who did the I mean, this is a weird connection. Everything's a weird connection, but the shooting that happened in Aurora during The Dark Knight Rises,
in Loveland, was it? Well, you guys are from Loveland, right?
Well, it was in Aurora.
That was in Arvada.
It was in Aurora. Wait,
was it Arvada or was it
Aurora? It was Aurora.
It was the one. It was the movie theater I go to watch movies with every year with my mom.
Oh wow!
But what was the connection? There was a connection there where the shooter. Was also fuck man. Here I go not remembering shit. There's a connection to the Boston bombing, right?
In Batman?
No,
I'm getting my shootings mixed up now.
I don't remember what the connection was. I'm sorry. This Sandy Hook thing was a lot bigger, and I didn't really look into it for this. I remember looking into it before. So we'll move on.
Okay.
So, but in most situations, when you hear about predictive programming, there isn't specific information. It's not a one-to-one, and it's just people being afraid of either government or the Illuminati or Satanists having to like put it in your face, like music videos or the rebirth. At any rate, I want to get into this. So my, I want to talk about if there's anything to this, what could it be, right? One idea is that the New World Order, the Illuminati, is trying to show you what they're going to do.
Okay, right, like calling their shot.
I don't know. I don't know why. Part of it is, I mean, when it comes to Illuminati stuff, part of it is like laughing at Jesus. You know, like we're going to do this to you. You can't stop us. So
okay.
That to me seems like a religious throwaway where it's like that doesn't prove anything. It doesn't. I don't know. Whatever. One idea is that the government elite is trying to get people ready for things to happen so they don't freak out when it happens. It's just like, I mean, I hate to say it, this is a bad parallel, but in advertising, whenever you see Burger King Kids Club things where it's just like, hey, we've got all the races together, you know, because they're trying to show you what they think the future should be. We've got a Mexican kid and a Chinese kid and a white kid and a black kid and a redhead, because redheads aren't white in this world. There's always an extra white person that's redhead. But that, like, in the advertising realm, they're trying to show you what they think the future should be, in an attempt to say that we are ready for the future. Our product is ahead of the game, whatever. And so could the government or elite or New World Order or Illuminati try to get you accustomed to what a future might be? And I know that we skipped over all of the COVID things, because that's a big thing too. There's a TV show called The Strain where
they
specifically bring up something being transferred on a plane while an eclipse is happening. And when Ebola came out, it happened on a plane while an eclipse was happening. So how's this TV show nail these weirdly specific things before it happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the movie.
And so I only bring that up.
Had some stuff. And yeah, I mean, that was
straight.
But that was them doing their research. Like the CDC had things like social distancing all the way back in like 2009 or something. So that was just a very well-researched movie is what that was.
And so to me, I only bring that all this up because, like, one idea that I think is that, like, if you are a writer, a creative person, someone who's like trying to search for ideas, whatever, is there a chance that you could connect to either yourself in the future or future events that have happened that, like, have taken over a lot of people, so that, like, you accidentally see things and you're writing about it because you thought it was an idea you came with where you actually just connected to the future.
Subconsciously or like through the spirit realm. Possibly. I mean, that's the thing. If there's anything, I mean, we've all done Channel 101 stuff where we've had the exact same idea as someone else, or we had
at the same time. Yeah.
And there's no way you could have known that the other person was doing that thing. There are some weird undercurrents in life like that, that I do think there's something to it that we just haven't, you know, in our collective subconscious touched on yet. And that's what a lot of this could be.
I picture sci-fi writing, when you're like trying to picture a dystopian future, and we are close to that because we are ruled by, you know, like our state of government, our state of money, our state of everything is like, you know, it would, if you're thinking about the future, you could tap into some real ideas that happened that people couldn't think about because they're not trying to think about a storyline set in the future, you know? I'm not trying to say that this isn't legit. I'm just saying, like, here's another alternative that, like, what if you could connect to your future self? And like, so like, you were so shocked by this news article that it affected your future self and you accidentally interpreted it. Well, I don't know. That's too specific, but I only bring that up because there was one moment that I had in my life where I was like, fuck, man, what the fuck is deja vu? Like, what if it was connecting to myself in the future? And then I fucking had a deja vu connecting one moment to the other right then. Where I was like, oh, fuck, it did happen. And
okay.
I was just eating some lunch with some set dressers and I couldn't talk to anybody. But I was like, fuck, man, did I connect this moment in time to this other moment in time?
Yeah. You could have.
So there's a lot here. I do kind of think that we are all connected, and like there is a sort of like, what'd you call it? Something subconscious.
Collective subconscious.
Yeah, collective subconscious. By the way, I looked up the Sandy Hook Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, yeah. And they have a map on the table, and it says Sandy Hook, and then you can overlay it with where Sandy Hook is on an actual map, and it like lines up.
Oh wow. When did Sandy Hook happen? Was that the same year?
I don't remember when Sandy Hook happened, but also you have to like really
look at this
map to like get Sandy Hook out of it. Like,
right.
It could say something else, and just that Ooh. Trick of your mind, like
it's written in cursive, right?
No.
Oh shit.
But anyway, yeah. I don't know, the connecting to your, for me, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, me, get on it. Like, send me some fucking ideas, man.
Okay, get
specific.
I think Sandy Hook is part of the DC universe and has been for a while. It's called South Hinkley. So that might have just been a reference. I don't know about the map thing. If you have to really try on the map. I mean, Sandy Hook's a common name. Like, there's probably a bunch of different Sandy Hooks out there.
Well, and so you saying that makes me go like, well, yeah, I can see how, I mean, this is what happens to a lot of conspiracy theorists. It's so personal that like, well, I've never heard of this. This is the first time I've heard of it. It's like, no, New England is based on Old England. Well, you know, whatever. I'm just like. Like, just because you hadn't heard of England before, what it's a bad parallel, but
and before it was the United Kingdom, it was just called the Kingdom, you know.
Well, so this is one of those topics though where you know, someone will just, when you look up predictive programming, someone's just like, hey, Arrival. And now all these UFO stories. I'm like, there's no connection there. Like, we're making movies about aliens because they're entertaining, not because anybody's trying to tell you that this is happening. So specifically, like, is there nothing so specific? You know, that the Man of Steel thing is pretty compelling because numbers match up. It's hard to match up numbers, but also, you know, out of a million movies, one movie is going to match the numbers, you know, and I don't mean to right. belittle that.
Especially like you coordinates. Can totally belittle it. Who are you insulting by belittling this fucking Man of Steel? Like, these fucking nerds scroll through movies to find any kind of fucking thing. Like,
there's a number. I have to find out what that means.
Yeah. Let me connect these dots. But we never even talked about the six. There's just an extra six. 6703.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because the person that I was listening to said, there's a flight has six letters in it.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was just that's like, too much. I was just like, whole. I was like, man, that you just lost me. No matter what you were building up, you just lost me because you made a connection that isn't there that works because you're trying to believe it.
Do you think that guy was like, oh yeah, Flight has six letters, and then he went and scrolled through the movie Flight to see if there are any parallels there, and it turns out Denzel Washington's character has the same name as the pilot that died.
Right. I think that person Googled how many letters are in Flight.
I can't count them. F. L.
It's weird though, you know, like how the fuck are the coordinates of this alien ship the same coordinates of the fucking plane going missing? That like coincidences to me will never prove anything, but boy are they fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I get, I mean, and the Trident, there's a movie that like has coordinates in it. Like what's the plot device there that they're like, we got to show the coordinates of this.
Yeah. And the Trident connection, you know, like that's the symbol of this airline that disappeared at this coordinate. Like it's mind boggling, but it's not putting puzzles together, you know, like, but if evil existed, if evil were a thing that we're trying to take down, a good force.
Do you not believe in evil?
I don't believe in evil. I think that evil is a perspective, and it's a perspective of someone else where them doing their life affects you in a negative way. So you make it bad. It's bad from your perspective. It's not bad from theirs, you know? Even killing somebody for fun is not evil to me. That's just curiosity of the brain. Even if you enjoy it, I don't count that as evil. Evil is a perspective of the righteous, and nobody's righous. That's what
are you trying to get into a quote book or something?
I see what you're saying. No, I mean, just, everybody can justify their actions on some level.
I just my whole life I've believed in evil, and in the last 10 years I'm like, who are these fucking people that fooled me into believing something that like is a tool for them?
Well, let's get back to what you were saying. Even if you believe in evil, what?
If you believe in evil and you believe in, What's the name of our topic?
Predictive programming.
I'm just saying, evil at its worst, if evil were real, this everything would be exponentially worse. In every way.
Evil can be take a subversive form too. I mean,
like people, even torturing somebody, I don't think that it's because evil exists.
No, well, I understand your perspective on evil, but I don't understand the broader point making.
No, I don't either. But like I think I only bring it up because a lot of the things that I watch and a lot of the things people trying to make points, it's like, in a lot of situations, evil is the reason. Where it's like, they're trying to put it in your face, you know, like Satan is laughing at Jesus every time he gets away with something. And so I just see it too much. And it,
the people behind these conspiracies, like the way people have rationalized it, is they view us as cattle, and that they're like, you know, at the top. They're the people that run the farm. You know, so they don't
just for being good, not because they do anything other than just believing in God. Yeah, I don't mean to be so specific.
Yeah, it depends on which group of elites you're talking about. Yeah. But the idea is that we're like animals, and then they're more evolved than us, basically. So it's not really like evil as much as it is the natural order of things.
And so I'm just going to jump right into one of the biggest movies that like is always in this conversation, The Matrix.
Sure.
You know, the fact that we're in a simulation, the fact that I know there's a big jump, but it's just like, yeah, I don't want to miss the biggest, our reality isn't real. And they're trying to tell us in this movie.
Or maybe that's where things are going as we become more and more electronics based.
Well, I mean, so like we are going to connect our brains to the internet in our lifetime. Even if it doesn't work out, it's going to happen.
Some would say that we're already there in ways that we've not recognized yet with social media.
Yeah.
Like we're being influenced constantly.
And picture liking without your fingers. It's going to be great.
You just feel it. You just feel it and it shows up.
Whatever neuron fires, you just immediately like shit.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to be exposed to be a bunch of creeps.
I mean, that's what I always laugh about when I think about, when I hive mind societies, it's like, well, you can't really have devious thoughts or it's like everyone's going to be called a pervert I don't know. I mean, it's just me projecting. Maybe I'm a pervert. No one else is, but, and that's not true either, but you know what I mean? Like,
It would just normalize. We're based on like this dumb puritanical fucking thing that like that's mostly what all of our uprisings are about, is like trying to get out of that, right? Like, so it would be, I think it would be freeing. It would be like, yeah, if you lived in a hive mind, it would be like everything is okay at that point. Like nothing is bad, you know, because everybody thinks the same thing.
Yeah. And more forgiving for other people thinking bad things, like, yeah, me too.
It'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it?
It would
to not
suck.
Have opposing viewpoints or, you know, different perspectives.
Like what do they do in those Star Trek shows or whatever? What's the point? They want everyone to be a Borg? Are Borgs the hive minds?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. And
are the Borgs bad dudes, or do they just want everyone to be a Borg?
They just want everyone to be a Borg. They self-replicate. They're very hive mind oriented. They're just like bees in a way, but
they are bad in every way though. For sure.
Yeah.
So much so that like even the most righteous, Star Trek character ever, Picard, is so offended by them that he abandons his righteousness to try to squash them in a way that, is unbecoming of Picard.
They basically take a sentient human being that can make their own decisions and turn them into an organ.
Like a pod person or something.
Yeah. A bigger part of a collective whole.
I keep agreeing with bad guys in all these shows. Like, wouldn't that be Well, I know.
I will say that the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe they weren't totally evil. Maybe the Emperor in Star Wars really did bring peace and unity to the galaxy.
I'm totally Team Snap, man. I feel like Thanos had it right. Like,
yeah,
he's solving some problems. You know,
he did have a rationale.
He's radical about it, but he's solving these problems.
Well, I mean, it's weird because when you use the word problems, you know, it's like it totally is your perspective of what society is right now, and it's like, man. If it's
you're getting very Buddhist on this episode. So like the only problems that exist are the ones that you define. Like, Team Snap wouldn't have worked out because, we just keep fucking, you know, we just keep fucking making more people. And then it devolves back into like climate change and all the shit that we got going on. So anyway, I cut you off. You don't believe in problems, only solutions. What were you going to say?
Well, yeah.
Something that could be put on a poster.
Well, it just mostly that like most people's problems are so small that, like, sure, a lot of people relate to them, but not when you talk to I don't know. I'm just saying that, like, it seems, you know, society is the squeaky wheel, you know, like, fuck, man. If anybody who's just trying to roll, you're not going to be able to smoothly roll because there's always a squeaky wheel. I don't know. I drank too much too quickly, but like when I think about predictive programming, do I think that there's a possibility that somebody's trying to get his use of stuff? I mean, when I think about advertising, the answer is yes. When you picture a military trying to make a commercial, it's all commercials, like where they're like, mm-hmm. Hey man, the future's safe. Everything's great. You know, that predictive programming is them trying to be like, the reason why it's safe is because of us. Look at this commercial. And so everything that we do is trying to brainwash people into thinking that your product is the best, that your product is the future. And so we get it. We're writers, we're filmmakers, we create things. Could that really be influenced by somebody trying to predict something? Sure, I could see CIA like making you throw a storyline in there. Maybe you entertaining the idea because you're getting $1,000 fucking here. Here's some money, put this in your storylines. Doesn't need to be the pilot, whatever. That all exists too, you know? But is anyone ever going to figure anything out? Nah.
Figure anything? What do you also, what commercials are you watching? Like these
the be all you can be army commercials.
About. Okay.
Oh, well, every
No, every military sure, commercial. That's propaganda. Like, and we know it's propaganda, and we see through it. Like, who's fooled by that?
Well,
if
like,
you're fooled by and you're like, I'm gonna be the army guy who slays the dragon, then you're dumb. And
well,
we need you. Go ahead, be in the military. Probably all you're good
picture,
for.
Picture, like, you love Brawny, right? Do you love Brawny?
The paper towels?
The paper towels?
I love Brawny, man. Some fucking giant, like, cleaning up
I'm
a mess.
I'm not partial to it.
So how is that what you're talking about?
That's the government, right? The giant is the government.
No.
We make messes.
Like, to me, yeah. Like,
oh.
Here's a
9/11 on my phone. 9/11.
Oh, fuck.
What are we on, Harmontown now? We got to shout out when it's 9/11.
9/11.
You know, like picture how many people in America have it been influenced by cleaning up a mess with a strong paper towel?
What are you talking about?
But like it's a brainwash to be like, yes, you need to clean up this mess by wasting these trees. I'm just like I know it's not predictive programming, but I'm saying like the brainwash is this mess is unacceptable, but destroying millions of trees to fucking dry up a drop of water is like the reason,
though.
Not in our lifetime.
Every
like, how many trees have grown since you've been born?
That
I mean, like grown
a million. Every you cut time down. He cuts one down,
a billion. So many fucking trees. Are you kidding me? Like, listen, they might not be responsible about it. They're probably not planting as many trees as they cut down. But it's not that big of an issue. I mean, like, if you're talking about the rainforest and shit, that's different. But I really doubt that the paper towel industry is like really fucking deforesting the fucking world.
There's plenty of trees in our concrete hellscape of Los Angeles. I mean, if they can grow here, they can grow anywhere. I know where I was going.
I know.
Well, so now you've just turned into a hippie. And I don't know. I get it.
I'm a hippie in the way that I think that a lot that most things are accidentally predictive programming because they're trying to sell you on a future that they want, whatever their company is.
Sure.
Their company
is,
hey, man.
That's completely different than what we're talking about, though. That's like.
No, I think at the core of it, though, does it go beyond a company? Could people step in and control from a bigger. Fuck me. Sorry, just stole my beer.
Nice.
Maybe it's for
save,
the best.
Kind
of. I think that the way that everything in our society works, this is always going to be happening. I don't think anything specific of terrorism attacks or anything is like insider knowledge, but I do think that on a smaller level, the society that people in charge want is what's being presented to you in some respect of like, sure. I think a couple movies, a couple TV shows have been told how to present certain things.
I think there's
but making this a specific thing where it's like they're trying to tell you about this attack. I don't think anything's that specific. I think it's more on the level of your place in society.
So what you're saying is there's a cabal and they're like approving all of the media or something like that. Like, what do you have to say about Avatar? Because in Avatar, we're the bad guys and the military's the bad guys. And we come into this planet and we're like shredding it. You know, it's Pocahontas, basically.
Sure. Yeah.
What's that predictive programming?
That's James Cameron has a lot of money and very much.
He's above the system. Like he doesn't have to listen to the Illuminati.
It's such an ego stroke. Like even like these sequels it's been over 10 years since the first one. He's still making the sequels. It's insane.
Hey, he's making like six of them.
That's a great question because to me, the predictive programming in that is
it's amazing how we're still talking about Avatar, even though its plot is totally forgettable, and it's been over a decade since it.
I think that one angle could be that, well, no matter how strong your belief is, the force of the military is going to squash you.
Well, that's not.
I mean, they lose in the end. They lose in the end, right?
Who's they?
The heroes.
And what?
I don't remember the ending. What's the ending of Avatar?
No, they defeat happy the ending? Army and yeah. Army goes away.
I mean, I think Afghanistan has shown us that our military is very beatable.
In a lot of ways, though, when you watch a hero thing happen, it's almost like it makes it more impossible for you to believe it, because this is just a movie. I'm sorry. I'm so rambly. like, is there a way that there's a reverse thing going on where it's like, well, it worked in this movie, but it can't work here, because I'm just, you know, I'm just Jerry, you know, I have no power. Can watching the plight of the impossible situation, like, make it not possible for you because you make yourself smaller than the story you watched? I'm just spitballing.
I don't think so. I think that's only the opposite of every movie. Like, every movie, like, when is I about picture the one who couldn't do it and then they do it.
But I feel like most people's situations in their lives, they're not standing up to their boss that's a piece of shit. They watch movies all day about how they should, and then they don't.
You pick your battles, though. I mean, like, you want to be homeless or you want to stand up to your boss?
Yeah. I'm just like, I always wonder if watching stories makes you disconnect from yourself more, because they're so incredible that it can't.
Like, I understand what you're trying to say, but I don't think so.
And I don't know if
we've been telling stories and myths since human civilizations existed. And there are always ways of connecting there are always ways of connecting each other. So I don't think it's necessarily that. Although if a character that's supposed to be a role model does act a certain way, you are likely to mimic their behavior in some ways if you're easily impressionable.
Well, let me ask you, what about this? Picture your life, and what's the best moment where you stood up for yourself?
Good question. I don't think I've ever stood up for myself. I mean,
me neither. My best example is when I worked at McDonald's in high school, I knew I was one of their best workers. And I asked for 4th of July off. It was a holiday that I cared about, wanted to be with my friends. I asked for it a month in advance. I didn't get it off. So I wrote a letter saying, like, fuck you guys. I've worked so hard. You don't give me my one day off that I want. I'm out of here. And then 3 months later,
I did that with a high school job. Yeah.
I went back to work.
I wrote a letter, though.
And they said, we'll hire you back, but you're not going to do it again, right? And I'm like, no. And then I asked for it a month off in advance. I didn't get it. I wrote a letter and I fucking walked out. And I was like, I'm glad that I quit this job twice that I liked and I wanted, but, like, fuck you. Like, I know I deserve that one day off.
That's
numerous times. I live my life like that. That's all I ever do.
See, I do walking thing. I don't actually confront. I more like quit. You know, I've done that before. I pushed carts at a grocery store as my high school job. And when, like, two people got promoted ahead of me to cashier, I was like, I'm done. I'm out. So I've done that before.
Yeah. Why do you think we all live in LA?
Because we didn't accept the Midwestern, I just wanted to
hear your best story though. What's your best story of you like sticking up for yourself or your best hero moment?
The thing is, in LA, like, we're self-starters with like Channel 101 and stuff. So anytime we've ever felt like we deserve better, we've made our own shit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so I don't understand. Like, you guys aren't pushovers. Like, we all live here because we took a chance and we did something. Like, yeah, I quit a cart pushing job too because they, instead of putting me in the bakery, the job I wanted, they like hired outside. So I walked out.
Yeah,
I walked off of a PA job because the guy was yelling at me. So I was like, "Fuck you."
Nice, like, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah. How did you when you did that? Did you have to fill out paperwork, or did you text someone, or did you just leave?
I just bailed, man. I just never went back.
I did give notice, but I was like, "Yeah, there's nothing you can say to convince me to stay."
I've walked out of multiple shifts. Like, if they don't give me what I want, I fucking leave.
Oh, that's great. I mean, I feel like I don't stand up for myself at all, and I'm always like fucking.
You just said that you did in McDonald's or whatever.
Yeah, that was like my two stories out of like six of my whole life. I'm just laughing, going like, I normally put up with a lot of shit.
But you could go anywhere. Like, you have jobs, you have tenure and job security. I know you could get fired or whatever, but like, I think you have leverage if you ever felt mistreated.
Yeah, you just got a raise.
That's the first time I've ever really, the last time I asked for a raise at this job, they're like, no. I'm like, okay, cool.
Right. Not this time. I mean, like, but I don't understand. You're like, you're picking and choosing like what moments you were brave. No one's brave all the time.
Like, yeah. Well, no, I know. I'm just.
That's also why I'm a freelancer now, where I'm just like, if I don't like the job, I won't take it.
Yeah.
I honor my commitments that I've done. Yeah.
I wish I could get to that point. I just applied at Costco today. I feel like I might be a Costco employee if they.
I was there a year ago. I was thinking, I mean, not Costco specifically, but I was like, oh man, what if I just work nights stocking shelves at Target or something?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's why when I go to grocery stores, like, I usually try to have, I just try to be extra cool to everybody working, you know? Like,
oh, you're a saint. I mean, that should be everyone all the time. Like, just be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should wrap it up. Do you have any other like specific examples that you want to get off the books? Because we're like 20 minutes over here.
Word. Yeah. No, we did. I mean, you know.
You had a list. I mean, we could do like a lightning round.
Yeah, the most fun was just hearing like what a stretch all of these were. It's just fun that people are like connecting these dots, and it's such a waste of time.
But oh man, like this one list I saw, they're like, hey, in 2017 on Kong Skull Island, they talked about Hollow Earth. And I'm just like, are you trying to say that? You're not even trying to say anything. You're just like, hey, this could be real because they said it. I don't know, man. I mean, we covered most of the things on my list. Do you have any quick one moles that like?
Not really, just the COVID stuff. But again, we went over that. I think it's just people researching virus outbreaks. I don't think it's anything crazy.
I mean, yeah, for sure. If you do any research, you could come up with a viruses. COVID movie. Yeah.
We've been talking about viruses forever since the Black Plague. So
yeah.
I haven't seen anything too compelling that was specific, especially one-to-one specific information.
The 9/11 stuff is the weirdest stuff. I mean, even if they're all coincidences, it's still really weird. That 9/11 associated with the Twin Towers.
This is just that movie 23 with Jim Carrey, where It's just like there just happens to be 23s everywhere that he looks. You know what I mean? It's like when you buy a new car that you've never seen before and then you start seeing it everywhere. It's like this weird kind of confirmation bias that you have, you know?
Yeah, I will say it is weird that 7-Eleven, which is a I don't know how it's specific to Europeans, but like it's an important number. And their version of 9-11 is 7-Eleven. And on their day.
OK, yep.
There were bombings on the metro while the police were training how to deal with bombs on the metro. So like they specifically had a giant event happen while they were in training for an event like that happening, which added so much confusion that it allowed it to get bigger than it was, you know. And that's crazy to me, because like on 9-11, you know, they air traffic controllers were doing a simulation of planes crashing into buildings while the planes were crashing into the buildings. And so that's why they didn't like send jets to shoot down the planes right away, because they're like, wait, is this happening? This is a simulation we're doing. Is this really happening?
Well, it was also civilian aircraft. So I wouldn't want to be on a civilian aircraft that was mistakenly shot down.
Well, that's why I think that one flight was shot down.
Because, Flight 93 there's definitely a popular theory about that. That's why it is kind of weird.
And why would they ever tell us? But yeah,
they wouldn't.
So I don't know. I don't think that there's a cabal calling the shots, you know, trying to put, especially
people who want. I think
rich people get together and they can kind of decide what makes money for them.
Right.
Yeah, they do it by passing laws, not by throwing planes into buildings.
I mean, they do a little bit more than that, but yeah, like Bill Gates is definitely in some shit.
Oh.
That's a whole other episode, though.
yeah. I'm into a Bill Gates episode. You got anything more to say about you got any statements about closing statements, Moles, about programming?
No, but I do think that there's just some latent stuff in the zeitgeist that occasionally we all collectively think something and we manifest it somehow. I don't think it's that woo-woo. Like, I don't think there's that much, you know, behind it, but there's definitely a lot of weird things that happen as patterns leading up to an event, that there's something bubbling beneath the surface of humanity that we haven't quite figured out yet. I don't know. Whatever. There's something to it, but I don't think it's that controlled. You know, especially when you realize that the people, if there is a secret cabal ruling things, they're all stupid on some level. Like they all can't. There's no degree of 100% control that the CIA or like anybody has over everything. We're all humans.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't buy this at all. I think it's all hindsight, retroactive kind of like. Oh, they're trying to warn. Like, yeah,
okay. It's a lot of coincidences, though.
It's yeah, but that's exactly what it is coincidences. I mean, it's like there's only 365 days out of the year, so pick one.
I'll pick one. 9/11, September 11th.
It's just like I don't know. Like the entire thesis of this is baffling to me. Like the first thing you said was, "Oh, they're priming us to make us okay when it happens." No one was okay with 9/11. Like it changed the country. We still have to fucking
take our shoes off.
Yeah, and that was even a separate thing.
Yeah,
like the stupid fucking Homeland Security. They don't do shit. And like,
yeah,
but they didn't need a 9/11 to introduce that stuff. They could have just done it, like
I don't know. I think they did need.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't like it now.
I know
it hasn't gone away. We still don't like it.
Everything blows up and reaches critical mass until it falls apart. So that's what we have to look forward to.
I can't wait, man.
Does it decline?
I really can't wait. I might die the first day, but I'm ready.
I'm kind of ready too. It's only getting worse.
I'm interested to see what Survival Willy is really like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone game. For listening. Remember, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue the conversation over there. Moles, you sticking around for that?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be talking about something on the other side. So stay tuned and remember that everything. Fuck. What is it? God damn it.
Just because they're out to get just you. Because, doesn't mean...
Thank you. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Maybe they're warning you. Maybe you're paranoid and they're warning you.
Very possible.